Content syndication. It sounds technical, maybe a little bureaucratic.
For sure.
But for the B2B world, it's absolutely essential. It's really the engine that lets marketers scale their reach, engage audiences with high intent, and, feed that pipeline growth.
It holds immense promise. I mean, you're talking about volume, scale, efficiency. It's the modern answer to finding prospects who are actively researching solutions, even if they aren't looking at your product just yet.
That's the promise. Exactly.
Yeah.
But here's the reality we've seen again and again. When it's poorly managed, or even worse, badly planned, it just becomes this massive expense with no return. You end up with these huge lists of names that, well, they never go anywhere.
And that creates so much friction.
So much. That failure creates this palpable friction between marketing and sales, who are then just fighting over lead quality.
The good news for you, the listener, is that the channel itself isn't, inherently broken. The failure almost always comes from these avoidable strategic and operational mistakes.
So let's unpack this. Why does this keep happening, and what can we actually do about it?
Our mission today is to distill the 10 biggest pitfalls we found across all the source material, and then we're going to lay out a smarter, kind of repeatable framework.
Okay.
We're going to help you transform content syndication from this misunderstood tactic, often seen as a necessary evil, into a reliable, high-performing engine for demand generation.
I really appreciate that focus on reliability. So before we get into the list of mistakes, let's talk about the foundational failures, the core misconceptions that seem to poison these efforts right from the start.
Yes, these are what I'd call the three deadly assumptions. The first is treating syndication as a quick lead generation shortcut.
A shortcut, right.
Exactly. If your expectation is that these leads are instantly sales ready, you are setting yourself up for failure. The data shows most buyers engaging with syndicated content are still deep in that research phase. They're learning, not buying.
They're gathering intel. A sales pitch at that moment is just way too early.
Yeah, way too early, precisely. The second big mistake is running it as a standalone channel.
Siloed off from everything else.
Right. When content syndication is isolated from your broader demand gen, from your nurture campaigns or your sales follow-up, it just loses all its strategic value. You can't measure it accurately. You can't optimize it effectively.
And the third one. This seems to be the one that frustrates sales the most.
It's treating it as a volume-first tactic.
Just give me the numbers.
Yep. Prioritizing lead counts over strict audience relevance is the fastest way to get a lot of low-intent contacts. That just leads to poor conversion rates, and it quickly poisons the relationship between your teams. The moment sales feels they're wasting time, the whole program loses credibility.
That brings us directly to mistake hashtag one, treating content syndication as a pure lead gen tactic. If the campaigns are literally designed to generate contacts, why is focusing only on the volume such a huge strategic error?
Because it just fundamentally misunderstands its purpose. While it does generate contacts, its real value is in brand introduction. It's about supporting that early stage buyer education and influencing deals over time. When marketers obsess over hitting a monthly lead number, they stop caring about the quality of the audience or the relevance of the content or the long-term pipeline impact.
But if we stop tracking lead volume, how do we justify the spend?
Especially to, finance or leadership who want to see clear, immediate ROI.
The better approach is to position it as a top and mid-funnel demand driver. You measure it not by form fills, but by engagement depth and, crucially, its downstream impact.
So not just the download.
No. That means measuring NQL conversion rates from that syndicated pool and, most importantly, the revenue influenced by these campaigns, say, 90 to 180 days later. You're building future pipeline, not closing today's deals. Okay, so if the high-level strategy is about positioning, then we have to dive into the tactics. That brings us nicely to the content itself. Mistake, hashtag two, using the wrong content assets. This is where it gets really interesting, because what works on your website might completely fail in syndication.
That's such a key distinction. Teams have to avoid assets that are too promotional. If it looks like a sales deck dressed up as a white paper, or if it's outdated or generic, it's going to fail.
So it has to offer real value.
It has to be profoundly educational, deeply insight-driven, and focused on solving a specific high-level buyer challenge. It needs to be valuable enough that the reader feels they gain something, even if they never ever speak to a salesperson.
Can we get specific on that? The sources had a really clear breakdown of what assets work best at which funnel stage.
We should. For awareness stage content, we see the highest, sometimes very high performance from detailed white papers and robust research reports. These are just ideal for syndication because they satisfy that early need for unbiased education.
And what about as we move further down the funnel?
As we get into the consideration phase, performance drops to, say, medium for things like case studies. And what performs the worst?
Let me guess. Product sheets.
Product data sheets, or highly technical spec documents, they have a really low performance because the syndicated audience just isn't ready for a product deep dive yet.
Wait, that's a tricky balance. If case studies are only medium performers, should we even use them? Or just stick to white papers? And how do we make sure our educational assets still get the data points sales needs without feeling too transactional?
The case study still has its place, but you have to be judicious. Maybe only target prospects who are already showing high intent or are in mid-funnel nurture tracks. And for data collection, the goal isn't to get sales-ready details in that first form.
Yep.
The goal is to get a quality, contact-accurate role, company size, and then let your nurture system enrich that profile over time. The syndication piece is just the opening move.
Excellent. Okay, now, mistake, #3, core audience targeting and segmentation. If we have brilliant content, but it reaches the wrong people, that's just wasted budget.
And wasted credibility. The most common mistake here is targeting way too broadly because you think it'll increase volume. That's the definition of low CPL fool's gold. We also see teams relying only on basic job titles like marketing manager, without any context.
Right.
You can reach a million marketing managers, but if only 10 of them work for a company that can afford your product, the spend is wasted.
So what are those better layered strategies for dialing in relevance?
You absolutely need to use layered targeting. This means combining job function and seniority of VP of marketing versus a coordinator with strict industry and company size filters.
Get the right person in the right company.
Exactly. Then on top of that, you have to layer in buying stage indicators and increasingly first or third party intent data to confirm they're actively researching. That level of precision gets you quality over just quantity.
That improved targeting ties right into mistake #4, ignoring buyer intent and readiness. This feels like the main reason for all that sales friction.
It is. The data basically screams that assuming every syndicated lead is ready to talk is a costly, relationship-damaging mistake.
Right.
Remember, the buyer just read a white paper. They are looking for information. Pushing an aggressive sales call too early doesn't just frustrate the prospect. It cannibalizes future opportunity and erodes that internal trust you need.
So what's the tactical fix for that, the operational change?
The fix is non-negotiable. You have to segment leads by their engagement level immediately. Route them directly into tailored nurture tracks designed for education, not for conversion.
So the content consumption is a signal.
It's an interest signal, a strong one, but it's not a conversion event that triggers an immediate sales call. Content syndication has to support buyers at their pace, not on your sales team's schedule.
Let's shift to measurement, because metrics are where strategy often goes to die. Mistake #5, overemphasizing cost per lead or CPL.
What's so fascinating here is that CPL is one of the easiest metrics to track, but it's also one of the most misleading in content syndication.
It's a vanity metric.
Totally. It tracks cost efficiency, but it says nothing about lead quality, engagement, or pipeline influence. A lower CPL almost always comes from broadening your targeting and accepting less qualified audiences. It actually works against quality.
But if we just ignore CPL, won't finance teams push back on what looks like a higher initial spend per lead? How do you justify that to a CFO?
You justify it by shifting the conversation from cost efficiency to revenue efficiency. You show them that the lower CPL leads have a 0% MQL conversion rate, so the true cost per qualified lead is infinite.
Oh, I see.
Instead, you focus on the metrics that actually define success. Cost per engaged lead, lead to MQL conversion rate, pipeline influence per campaign, and ultimately, revenue influenced over time. That grounds your decisions in real business impact.
And mistake #6 covers the operational hygiene. Failing to integrate syndication with your CRM and marketing automation, fragmented data is the enemy is good attribution.
If the systems aren't talking, you are flying blind. Integration is essential. Best practices means syncing all syndicated leads automatically. No more manual spreadsheets, applying consistent lead scoring, tracking the exact campaign source and asset, and making sure your lifecycle definitions are aligned across both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Without that data flow, you can't tell which campaign is performing or why a lead just stalled out.
Let's focus on that crucial moment, right after the form fell. Mistake, #7, weak lead nurturing.
This is where so much money is wasted. Leads are either sent to sales way too early, or they get dumped into a generic database or a standard email blast that has nothing to do with what they just read.
A massive wasted opportunity.
A huge one. You paid to get their interest on a specific topic. You have to capitalize on that. These leads must immediately go into structured nurture programs.
What does that look like?
These programs should deliver follow-up content that's intellectually aligned to the original asset, going deeper on the topic they showed interest in before you gradually introduce product messaging. Good nurturing is the bridge that turns early interest into buying readiness.
And mistake? Hashtag 8 is related. Expecting immediate revenue impact. BDP sales cycles are long. How realistic is it to expect syndication to generate revenue in the first quarter?
It's completely unrealistic. Syndication is a long game. It plays an early or middle role in the buyer's journey. It provides influence, not last touch closure.
You have to set expectations correctly.
You do. Smarter expectation setting means you measure success over a more realistic timeline, maybe 90 to 180 days, not 30. Your focus has to be on pipeline contribution. Did this lead eventually enter the pipeline? Not just immediate closed won deals. You have to institutionalize patience.
Okay, moving to operational oversight. Mistake hashtag 9 is poor vendor selection. Not all partners are created equal. Mm. Just picking the cheapest one is a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
It really is. The quality of your vendor directly impacts the quality of your leads. You have to look way beyond CPL. You should be auditing four key things. First, audience relevance. Do they actually specialize in your industries and roles?
Okay.
Second, transparent lead sourcing. Where did they get these leads and what was the opt-in? Third, strong targeting controls. Can they do the layered segmentation we talked about? And finally, clear reporting and compliance. Don't be afraid to ask tough questions.
Yeah. And the final mistake, hashtag 10, not optimizing or iterating campaigns. Content syndication is not set it and forget it.
Absolutely not. If you leave a campaign running untouched for 6 months, you will see performance decay. Audience fatigue sets in, content gets stale, competitors change things up.
So you have to stay on top of it.
You do. Teams must review performance, ideally monthly, and look for those optimization opportunities. This means rotating assets, testing different targeting segments, and analyzing which regions or segments are showing the highest downstream value. Continuous optimization is what turns a decent program into a real revenue engine.
We've identified the 10 critical mistakes, from mindset all the way down to mechanics. So what does this all mean for building a strategy that actually works?
It means adopting a structured approach. The sources outline a four-part framework that really reduces risk and brings in consistency. The first part is defining clear objectives aligned to funnel stages.
Mm-hmm.
Every single campaign needs a specific goal. Are we trying to increase awareness in a new market, or are we supporting sales with warmed-up prospects? The goal dictates everything else.
And the objectives dictate the content. What's the second part of the framework?
Intent-driven targeting and segmentation. You have to go past basic firmographics. This is where you leverage intent data to find active researchers, you use role-based targeting to hit the buying committee, and you apply account-level prioritization, especially for ABM.
So your content reaches the buyers most likely to progress.
Exactly, which leads to the third step, content mapping and rotation. You have to be rigorous. Make sure your assets match the buyer's journey stage. Research for awareness, case studies for consideration, and crucially, you have to keep rotating that content to prevent fatigue.
Finally, the measurement piece that ties it all together.
The fourth component is measurement beyond lead volume. You have to prioritize the performance indicators that actually matter to the business. Engagement depth, lead progression, and overall pipeline influence. This is how you make sure your optimization is tied directly to revenue, not to surface level costs.
That brings a ton of clarity to a channel that, you're right, is often seen as murky or unreliable. It seems successful syndication is about moving from a volume mindset to a thoughtful alignment with how modern B2B buyers actually research and make decisions.
Exactly.
It evolves from this misunderstood tactic into a reliable engine when it's strategically positioned, precisely targeted, well integrated, and measured holistically.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the whole framework is really built on respecting the buyer's pace. The source material emphasizes measuring success over 90 to 180 days and building these structured, tailored nurture programs. This brings up an important question for you, the listener.
Mm-hmm.
If content syndication is primarily about early stage education and influence, what fundamental assumptions do you need to challenge about the immediate job of your sales development team? Is their first interaction with a syndicated lead truly supportive of someone who just downloaded a white paper? Or is it pushing them too far, too fast, and ultimately hurting your company's credibility? That misalignment is something worth exploring today.